Thank you. Good morning. The topics I'm going to talk about the greenhouse evaluation of sulfur availability from granular ammonium sulfate versus granular sulfur enriched monoammonium phosphate. Basically, it's look at the sulfur availability from two types of granular fertilizer products. The sulfur deficiency has become a problem, as the previous speaker also mentioned that, due to, say, in many countries, due to the extensive and popular use of high analysis NP fertilizers, that lack of sulfur nutrients such as MAP, DAP, TSP, urea, no sulfur input. The other one is the reduction in SO2 emission from the industry to the atmosphere, and then required by the environmental laws that has a significant local effect on reducing sulfur deposition from the air to the agricultural soils. So lately, some fertilizer companies have been promoting granular products containing sulfur in the current market. Please, I underscore granular because that's the kind of forms of fertilizer we're going to talk about, not powder, it's granular. Some example of the currently in the market, you can find that either containing the elemental sulfur or a mixture of the ammonium sulfate and the elemental sulfur and ammonium sulfate alone. Say, for example, you have this trade name called Tiger 90 with the bentonite 10% and elemental sulfur 10%, so that you can see that. And then this sulfur N by Honeywell is purely ammonium sulfate, which has about 24-25 and no elemental sulfur. MES 10, mainly marketed by Mosaic, and with the monoammonium phosphate with elemental sulfur with ammonium sulfate. This is one more product with 10% total sulfur with 50% of elemental sulfur and 50% of ammonium sulfate sulfur. Thiogrowth TSP, kind of shale by the shale product, is the TSE plus elemental sulfur. So in this case, the elemental sulfur is the total sulfur, about 12%. And the new one is the MAP plus. This is MAP, elemental sulfur, ammonium sulfate, 12% of total S with 8% of elemental sulfur and 4% of ammonium sulfate. So you can see all kind of varieties of granular fertilizer products, mainly with the MP, sometimes containing either ammonium sulfate or elemental sulfur, or the mixture of the two at different proportions. Now, we all know very well that elemental sulfur cannot be used by the plant unless it gets oxidized. So here is well-known fact that the oxidation of elemental sulfur greatly depends on particle size of elemental sulfur. Now we are talking about the particle size of elemental sulfur per se. Okay, though? So you can see that this is the mean particle size of this fraction after screening, and this, some of you are familiar with the mesh. So basically, this tells you that sulfur oxidation of elemental sulfur oxidation greatly depends on particle size. You can see that from 80% drastically reduced to almost zero. Now, the normal commercial granule size in the granule form, roughly about 10 to 20 mesh, something in this range, or 5 to 10, somewhere the granular forms in this range. So you can see that the elemental sulfur particle size in this large particle size will get less oxidation. But we are not talking about elemental sulfur particle size per se. We are going to talk about granular elemental sulfur, which is less well known. This is quite well known. Many, many years people know this fact. How about effect of granulation of elemental sulfur? Remember, this is a granulation of powdered elemental sulfur, very fine powdered elemental sulfur, but in the granular form. And this, we could see the incubation that extract the sulfur, along with the incubation time. And here you can see the control, and also the powdered elemental sulfur got quickly some oxidation, and then the granular elemental sulfur almost no oxidation whatsoever. Even the elemental sulfur particle size in the granular elemental sulfur is powder, fine particle size, because of the granular. Now, this is the reason due to this, as I call locality effect of the oxidation of granular elemental sulfur. incorporation of powder and sulfur gets good oxidation because of the wide contact between the sulfur, elemental sulfur particle, and sulfur particles. This is well known. Incorporation of granular aluminum sulfur limits the contact between the elemental sulfur and sulfur particle because the fine elemental sulfur particle will cluster around the granular side. Although the granule disintegrate quickly and then release the micronized elemental sulfur particle in the soil, but it's localized, clustered at the same spot, unless you till the soil or mix up the soil. This locality effect can be rendered the initial oxidation of granular aluminum sulfur to near or inadequate to sulfate sulfur in the soil to provide the plant available sulfur. So give you an example, it's a, this is very simple diagrams to show you like a powder aluminum sulfur. So you mix the powder aluminum sulfur, you get a good oxidation. Now when you apply the granular aluminum sulfur in the granular form, it's disintegrated but still clustered, localized at the given spot at the granular size, unless you till the soil, you plot the soil, mix the soil before the second crop and so on. So because of this, you still limited this very fine elemental sulfur particles at the given spot without totally incorporate with the soil. And that explains this locality effect on the reduction in the sulfur oxidations. And in fact, that this concept of locality effect is nothing new. All the way back to 20 years ago in 1993, Boswell and Friesen in a review paper on the element sulfur as a sulfur fertilizer stated that large granular element sulfur proved ineffective in New Zealand and in field and incubation studies in Canada. This results from the low surface area versus mass ratio in the granules. Basically, it's limited surface area be contact with the soil particles, even the elemental sulfur particles, very, very fine in the micro size. This one example to show the greenhouse experiment by Friesen in 1996. Now you can see that this is the gypsum, about 10-20 milligrams sulfur per kilo already reached the maximum yield of the dry matter yield of maize. And whereas the other, the same granule size, remember, same granule size, you have a TSP, DAP, urea, and this is bentonite with aluminum sulfur. And you can see that eventually, sure, they did reach the same maximum, but took about 140 milligram S for the granular form to reach the 20 or maybe 10 milligram sulfur of gypsum. So this oxidation is kind of slow or inadequate to reach the same maximum yield as gypsum here. Clearly shows the granule size effect, not particle size, because the particle size in those granules are very, very fine particle size. The objective of the study was to compare the sulfur availability of granular ammonium sulfate against granular, this is a trademark, it's called MES, this is the monoammonium phosphate with 5% aluminum sulfur, 5% ammonium sulfate, so total is 10% sulfur, to two crops grown on two types of soil, low in sulfur nutrient. The experiment one, experiment two, experiment three, basically more or less the same treatment except the crops. Here is the ryegrass, 7 cuts, and this is canola to maturity. Then the experiment three is canola to maturity, different rates, and then this is the sandy soil, like sandy, pH 5.3, and that pH 6.4 for the sandy loam. And this is a standard treatment, 3 replicates, moisture content, and so on, under the same condition. Now, the result shows that ryegrass. Now, when I plot the cumulative ryegrass dry matter yield versus total sulfur applied from the two, granular ammonium sulfate and granular MAP containing 10% and 50-50 split between ammonium sulfate and aluminum sulfur, you can see that at a lower rate, that about 10 milligrams sulfur per kilo, the pairwise contrast test showed that ammonium sulfate was significantly higher than the MAP containing ammonium sulfate and ammonium and elemental sulfur. But after 25 milligrams or 20 milligrams, I cannot see clearly from the side, That's about the same year, okay? Now, when I plot the dry matter yield versus ammonium sulfate sulfur, not total, ammonium sulfate sulfur, then you can see that the two granules, this is a segmented function, you know, you've got a two sharp linear line, and basically follow the same trend. This suggests that no contribution of elemental sulfur particles in the granular MAP. Otherwise, the two will not follow the same trend. The elemental sulfur contribute some ammonium available sulfate. The line, the data points of the MAP should be about the line of ammonium sulfate. Okay? So that's one. Suggests that no contribution, significant contribution of sulfur, available sulfur from elemental sulfur in MAP granules. The second experiment is the canola straw yield. Eh? It shows the same as when we plot the total sulfur applied, and then the lower rate, we saw that ammonium sulfate performed better than MAP granules up to 25 milligram sulfur per kilo. But then at the high rate here, they are about the same, which because the at the 75, and you can see here, that this, we apply the same straw yield versus rate of ammonium sulfate sulfur applied. Then you see they still follow the same trend. And the maximum yield of straw is somewhere around about 12.5 in here. So the reason these two about the same, because this MAP at 75, it had 37.5 milligram S per kilo of ammonium sulfate, 37.5 kilo milligram sulfur per kilo of elemental sulfur. Even elemental sulfur did not contribute any available sulfur, but that ammonium sulfur in MAP granule is good enough because maximum requires only about 12.5, and here you got about 37.5, and that explains that the higher yield is to about the same, and also show that again suggests that not much contribution from the elemental sulfur from MAP granules to the sulfur abilities. The canola grain yields is show like ammonium sulfate will reach like this, and then the granular monoammonium sulfate, this is the canola seed yield. And at high rates, they are about the same, but at a low rate, the ammonium sulfate was much better than MAP granules. The last experiment is the sandy soil. Now, this is the canola straw yield. And in this case, the two sources perform about equally well for in terms of straw. And explanation is this is probably, in this experiment, the requirement of sulfur for the straw yield is quite low. Even at the 5 milligram sulfur per kilo, it's a sandy soil, may already reach the maximum yield as such. So basically, statistically, they could not see the significant effect between the two, even though the point of ammonium sulfate is still about the line of MAP granules. Now, this is the things I want to talk about because it's a headache. This is the canola seed yield, ammonium sulfate, up to 25 milligram sulfur per kilo reached the maximum. And the lower yield of granule ammonium, eh? Ammonium with elemental sulfur and ammonium sulfate. Now, you see that this point, this is crazy data point. It's wrong. It's a wrong data point, but I had to show it because the variability of the three replicates were awful. The ranges from 11 grams, 18 grams, 25 grams, like equal distribution. And you cannot kick out two out of three reps, right? 25 then will be close to, 25 will be close. If I kick out two reps out of three, this point B will be up to here, and that fits the observation very nicely. But you kick out two out of three, that's kind of crazy. But the other thing is equal distribution. That's a headache, you know, so I have no choice. But I keep telling you that it's a wrong data point, okay? Theoretically, it should be two, you know, like, let me show you before that. Should be like this. Right? But instead, we got this. So it's wrong, wrong, wrong. And the reason is, you know, growing canola to maturity in greenhouse, especially one plant per pot, is notoriously hated, because in the greenhouse, the canola, you know, you got these beautiful yellow flowers blooming, nice, beautiful. But the abortion rate from the flower to pod formation, seed formation, sometimes very erratic for some reason. I don't know, maybe the DNA. You see these beautiful flowers, right? But then sometimes you see these pods, kind of very not much of a pod formation. And even worse than that, there's no seed inside it. I don't understand. Like, you know, you feed the baby with a hamburger and the baby becomes slender and slender, losing weight. It's kind of funny, but that's the fact of the growing canola immaturity, to maturity in the greenhouse is a headache, especially only one plant per pot. Probably we should use two or three more plants. Finally, the conclusion is the result shows that sulfur availability of granular ammonium sulfate was more effective than that of granular MAP containing 5% of these two compounds. There was almost no ammonium sulfate oxidation of granular MAP to provide available sulfate to crops of ryegrass, canola growing in two types of soil. And research is needed to evaluate residual elemental sulfur availability of granular MP fertilizer enriched with the micronized elemental sulfur, especially in no-till system. As long as you have no-till, that localized elemental sulfur is going to stuck there, you know. But when you till, then you get a good oxidation in the next crop. Thank you very much.
Have time for a question.
Yes, sir. Don't give me a hard time.
From the soil, the elemental sulfur is a slow oxidation process.
Yes.
Really major benefits from soils that are prone to leaching losses of sulfate.
Yeah.
Was your experimental design including any leaching from the plants?
Yes and no. Let me think of leaching. Maybe Upendra is here. Not for MAP, but we got a leaching of ammonium sulfur and sulfur N26 and so on, but not this MES-10.
Actually, not this set of experiments. Normally, it was second set that was conducted where leaching
with MES-10. I don't think we tried. We never tried the leaching of MES-10.
We did.
We did. Okay. So the results.
The second set of experiments.
Okay. Okay.
You're presenting the first.
Yeah. But the result, Mike is asking, what's the result of that MES leaching? We got three phases, so I don't know, so many data. So I may talk to you later if Upendra still remember.
Okay. See, the question was, normally you had to apply the same amount of sulfur.
Yeah.
And one of the problems was, if I recall, that in the MAP experiment, because phosphorus was coming from
MAP,
and we waited to apply sulfur when the crops were established, we had a little, the plants were not, plants didn't grow as well as in the other experiments, because we had to try to keep the phosphorus at the same level. And in doing so, we applied phosphorus later for MAP treatment with sulfur. Because all the sulfur was applied after the crops were established.
Yeah, after germination,
so
yeah.
The crops were smaller than the MAP treatment, so that was not a fair comparison. So the leaching was actually higher than the sulfur.
You
used to draw
all three reps.
Yeah, that's why it's not here.
Okay, you have to.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.